Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Covering the serious subjects of the day. Covering our regular feature subjects as well this morning, including our Food Time show, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show. And that includes conversation that I've been looking forward to because I am such a fan of America's Test Kitchen. The 17th season of the show is about to hit the airwaves. Season 16 DVD is now available. And what a pleasure to have on the line with us Bridget Lancaster, one of the hosts of the show. Hi, Bridget. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dean. Oh, it's so great to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
How long have you been involved with the Test Kitchen? Not all 17 of these years, right?
Absolutely. I was there on day one the TV, and actually started with the company a few years before that.
Wow.
So
that doesn't seem possible.
I was only 10 when I started.
I was going to say, though, you couldn't have been old enough to be behind the stove working with hot stoves and sharp knives and all that.
Well, you're too kind.
What do you think you attribute to the success of the show? I love it because it's so matter of fact. It's so, and you explain things in such an interesting, almost scientific way.
Well, I think that is the big draw. We don't just show you a recipe and give you a recipe and then, you know, just say, make this because it's great. We tell you what's happening along the way. So, you know, hopefully you'll pick up one or two things that you can use to better yourself as a better cook for other recipes. You know, it gives you the power to be able to problem solve in the kitchen. And, you know, if we can make people better cooks at home, then we've done our job.
Yeah. And I love, you know, the tips that you give on choosing pans, choosing knives. I mean, basic things that, you know, we all wonder about, you know, those of us who love to, you know, get behind the stove or the grill.
It's so true. Well, I mean, you know, we all know that there's a difference between types of cars and, you know, air conditioners, whatever it may be. But, you know, the right pan, the right knife can really make a difference in the kitchen. It can make your job so much easier. I get so many people that are frustrated because they don't like to prep food. And the first thing I ask them is, well, do you have a sharp knife? And they say no. And I said, well, if you have a sharp knife, it's going to be so much easier.
Life-changing.
And quicker.
Life-changing, yeah.
It really is.
Truly life-changing. I guess my life maybe needs a little more excitement if that is what is life-changing for me. But
you know what? In these times, I like boring.
Right. There's more than enough stimulation on all the other channels. Right, exactly. So what do you have cooked up, literally, for season 17? It's got to be challenging coming up with new and different things?
Well, it's, you know, we have such a great team on America's Test Kitchen. We farm the recipes from Cooks Illustrated, one of the magazines under the ATK umbrella. And, you know, every year we think, oh, okay, we've done it all, we've seen it all. And then we go through these recipes, and they're just, they're great. There's never you know, a shallow end of that pool. It's all deep recipes. So, you know, the sign of a great recipe is, do I still make it after we're done with television at home? And, you know, so I think I've made paella on the grill two or three times, which is, it's a beautiful recipe. The whole recipe is cooked right on the grill. You open the lid, and there's rice and chicken and peas and chorizo and shrimp, and it's all beautifully done in this briny broth. Baked Alaska was such a fun show to do. Julia, who is the other co-host on the show, she had never really had a Baked Alaska, never really been around it. She'd seen it on TV, and Baked Alaska is actually dear to my heart because my husband makes it at the restaurant he works in. And he makes it as our birthday cake, anybody here in the household. So it was great doing that for her. There's lots of stuff. I mean, there's everything from really you know, practical day-to-day dishes. There's a pasta ecchi. There's a beautiful sweet potato soup that I love. It's the most flavorful sweet potato soup. It uses sweet potato peels to extract a lot of the flavor out.
Really?
Yeah, and it's there's no vegetable broth in it, no chicken broth. It's just sweet potatoes and water, some shallots. Really, really easy to do.
Are you pureeing the ingredients to get the creaminess of it?
Yes, yes. So the sweet potatoes, you simmer with a little bit of the peels, not all of the peels, because too much would give it too much of a gritty texture. But you know how we always are told all the flavors in the peel of a potato or a sweet potato. Well, it turns out there really was tons of flavor in there. And we could tell a huge difference when we made the sweet potato soup with and without the peels. It's so simple. You just top it with a little bit of creme fraiche at the end, maybe a little caramelized bacon to garnish, something like that. I put bacon on anything.
That sounds fantastic. I mean, we've got a typical summer Chicago day today, so I don't know if anyone's going to be making soup. But it's a good one to keep in your file for when the weather turns, in a month or so.
I was going to say, and it will turn.
And it would definitely. if you know your Chicago weather, you know it's definitely not going to stay as warm as it is. So, what would be some great things for this time of year, on the grill or off? What are some of your summertime favorites?
I love to barbecue because it's all takes place outside. You can it can be 3, 4, 5 overnight. How many hours on the grill, and you don't have to worry about it heating up your kitchen. So. I have an offset smoker, so I like to smoke brisket and ribs and pork butt, things like that. But I think one of the other things that's great to do, and it's something that we've kind of shied away from in the past because people have not had any interest in it, and that has come full circle. People are very interested in canning and preserving. So right now, you go to your farmer's market, maybe in your backyard if you're lucky, or even the grocery stores. The produce is better there right now. So why not pick up blueberries, raspberries, make your own jam, cucumbers, make your own pickles. So that's something that I think a lot more people are getting into. We're almost at zucchini and tomato season. I always say that I've run out of neighbors because nobody wants the zucchini that I grow anymore. It's just, you plant one plant and you could feed an army.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I have the same thing with zucchini and cucumbers.
Yes.
I can't give them away fast enough.
You should be pickling. That's what you should be doing.
I should be. I've never done that. I'm a little intimidated by it. Should I be?
No. It's so easy. We actually have a preserving book that has just hit the shelves, and it's so easy. There's all you need is a big stock pot with a rack on the bottom, so it lifts the jars up above. And if you know the equations, the ratios of sugar and pectin or water, it is so easy to do. If it wasn't easy to do, they wouldn't have done it a long time ago.
Right.
If you'd had to have so much modern equipment, it wouldn't have been around so long ago. But we're kind of hoping to revive this brilliant technique of really taking summer food and enjoying it year round.
Yeah,
and it's so much better than anything you could buy at the store.
Well, I was at the store yesterday morning, enjoying the abundance of blueberries and raspberries and things that I was thinking as I was purchasing these. Well, this is all going to be gone in a month. Not going to be around. I wish there was some way I could prolong the wonderfulness of the summertime, and all the summer fruits that we're enjoying, the peaches and the nectarines and things like that are plentiful and so delicious right now.
Absolutely. Well, there's even if you didn't want to get into full blown canning, there are things called, we call them no commitment jams, which sounds like a bad date. But it's just fruit and sugar, a little bit of lemon juice, a little pinch of salt, and you simmer that down until it's pretty thick. And a really cool way to check to see if your jam is thick enough is you put a plate in the freezer, just a regular dinner plate. And when the jam, after 15, 20 minutes of simmering on the stovetop, when it looks like it's probably going to be thick enough, you take a little teaspoon of it, place it on the plate, put it back in the freezer for a minute or two, take it out, and if you can run your finger right through that jam, and it doesn't go right back into the little alley that your finger just created,
yeah.
It's thick enough. All you have to do at that point is put it in your containers. It could be a glass jar. It could be a Ziploc bag, if that's all you have. That jam will last you a couple of months in the fridge.
Wow.
Or you can freeze it.
That's amazing. This is why I love America's Test Kitchen. Just to be able to run my finger on a frozen plate, and go through that process. That's fun for me. That's an exciting Saturday night for me right there. Let me take a quick break and we'll come back and talk more. Bridget Lancaster from America's Test Kitchen is on the line. 312-981-7200. 1246. Dean Richards. WGN. Frank Fontana coming up after 1 o'clock today. Honored to have with us one of the hosts of America's Test Kitchen. Bridget Lancaster is on the phone. Season 17 of America's Test Kitchen underway. Season 16 on DVD. I want to talk about some of the recipes that I'm looking at on your website. And some looks like delicious recipes for on the grill, including a pull-apart chicken. That sounds so fantastic, Bridget.
Well, it's chicken, grill, and super tender. So how bad could it be, right?
That sounds like super simple, too.
No, it really is. It basically shreds itself. And the key is time. So, a nice low and low grill, it's going to that's where the science comes in. So chicken has muscle fibers, as all meat does, and there's some of those muscle fibers have lots of intramuscular fat and collagen, and if you cook them at a low temperature, that collagen that's in there, it converts into gelatin. And that, when you have any kind of pull-apart chicken or pull-apart meat, and it has that really rich, almost buttery feel to it,
yeah.
That's the gelatin.
Oh.
So that only happens at low temperatures. So that's the beauty of that recipe. Just super easy. It's almost a set it and forget it kind of thing.
When you say nice and slow on that, what are we talking time-wise?
I would say it's a 250 to 300 degree grill. So for chicken still doesn't take a long time on the grill. It's probably, if I remember that correctly, it's probably close to an hour and a half, maybe up to 2 hours at the max.
Under indirect heat, I would assume,
yes.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You were talking before about pork butts on the grill. Talking about pull apart food, I mean that's where we get our pulled pork, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
So talk to us a little bit about making the perfect pulled pork. Again, it takes a pretty long time, but the results really make it worth it.
It really does. It's something that you shouldn't hurry up. So you can't hurry love. You can't hurry barbecue. You really can't.
Never knew that Supreme songs applied to pulled pork, but I guess so.
And I think they're kind of synonymous, love and pulled pork. The keys are, use the right cut. So a pork shoulder, sometimes called a Boston butt or a pork butt, it really is key. So many people will use the other end of the pig, which is a fresh ham. And while it's pretty good, it doesn't have as much, again, of that collagen and intramuscular fat to help it get super silky. And you want to apply a rub to it. That rub should have plenty of salt in it because salt really is the only way that flavors can enter meat. If you even marinades, people will soak meat in a marinade. If it doesn't have enough salt in it, that flavor is really just going to stay on the outside. And then a low, slow grill. So like you said, off heat, you would build the fire on one side of your grill, whether it's gas or charcoal. You can actually, a kettle grill is great for making real charcoal, that real coal smoked flavor. You bank all your coals to one side. You would add wood chips that have, some can be soaked, some don't have to be soaked. Actually, recently we've been retesting what we thought we knew all along about soaking and not soaking wood chips in chunks, and I actually found that almost 90% of the time you don't need to soak them. It gives a very different flavor, the
really?
Chips, whether or not they've been soaked or not. So you just add your smoke, the packet of wood chips. You know, it's a little aluminum foil packet with the chips in there, a couple of vents on the top, and that's so that they don't ignite quickly. And by doing this and watching over the coals, you'll find that the smoke is nice and even for a longer period of time, and that's really important. If you have all of the smoke at the front, it only absorbs right on the surface of the meat. But the longer it stays on there, you know, when you open up a piece of barbecue meat of some sort and it's got that smoke ring, that pink ring
right.
around the outside,
exactly.
That's how far that smoke has been taken in by the meat. So the slower you go and the longer you go, you'll get more of that beautiful smoke ring. So for a pulled pork, you could do 3-4 hours on the grill. By that time, it really has absorbed as much smoke as it pretty much can, you know, for practicality's sake. At that point, you can take it inside, wrap it in foil, put it in a 350-degree oven, actually lower than that, 300, 250 again, and let it go another 2 hours inside. And it will just fall apart in your hands.
So that's a fantastic idea. I'd never even really thought of that. And I've done pulled pork so many times on the kettle. And my only complaint is, you know, you're constantly feeding the charcoal into it, you know, trying to absorb that taste. But I guess at a certain point, you don't really need to do that anymore.
That's absolutely right. And it's the, you know, the oven is more even of a heat. So actually, that conversion of the collagen to the gelatin happens more efficiently in the oven.
In the oven, except that you have to turn your oven on in the summertime. That's the only downside.
That's the problem.
Maybe you could do it on I don't know how many grills most people have, but you can move it over to your gas grill at that point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Gas grills are a bit more even in heat. You know, we always like to develop recipes for both the gas and the charcoal grill because we know people are pretty, you know, they love one or the other usually. I have both because sometimes I love the gas grill. It's so convenient. You turn it on, you turn it off. It's easy to go. And like you said, it almost mimics an outdoor oven. So it would be perfect for this.
Yeah, but sometimes
you can just start smoking. Sorry, you could just start smoking on one side. By
right.
the time the chips die out, just lower that heat on the gas grill even more
right.
and just let it go.
Can't beat that kettle taste, that actual kettle taste, though, sometimes,
it's
right?
It's difficult to, yep.
So
I know you guys are in Weber territory there.
We are,
yep.
Yes. In fact, last Sunday we had somebody from Weber on talking about all of these things. We're very happy that they're right in our backyard here. You guys are constantly testing new equipment, new gadgets. Do you have some favorites right now that, you know, things on the horizon that you just absolutely love?
Oh, let's see. Well, it's, you know, there's always new things. Every time I go into the test kitchen, Lisa McManus, who heads up the testing and the tastings, she's got something else up her sleeve. She always has something up her sleeve, which is great. We're always testing. Well, we just finished testing grills again, speaking of. I'm not going to give results for that on the air. I don't want to scoop Lisa.
Can I ask you about a couple of things? Because, you know, these are things that I'm constantly scratching my head about. And one of them is thermometers. You know, I have my old standby instant read thermometer.
Yes.
And then I'm, you know, constantly seeing all these new thermometers now that hook up to my smartphone and they're digital.
Mm.
And, you know, they do everything in the world but cook the food for me.
And wouldn't that be nice? Although I think the more that we get away from actually cooking our own food, the worse off we are. I still go back to my, you know, one of my favorites is the Thermapen, which we love on the television show. You don't have to get a Thermapen. They're quite expensive. They're $95, sometimes $100. But I think if you had to have one piece of equipment, it would be the instant read thermometer.
It's so critical, right? It's so critical. It's the key to everything.
It really is. And the fact that you can use it for meat, you can use it to make caramel. If it goes high, if the temperature range is high enough, you can use it to check, to make sure that a custard has cooled down enough before you make an ice cream. So it's, although it is an expensive piece of equipment, I would say that I use it almost every single time I cook. That is definitely one that almost never goes into the kitchen drawer. It's always there. So if you think about
and what is the name of that one again?
Oh, it's called the ThermaWorks ThermaPen.
Okay.
There are less expensive models as well. There's a Taylor, and it is very good as well. But I think if you really wanted to, the other beauty of the ThermaPen is that you can calibrate it yourself. So you never have to worry that it is out of calibration. And you just calibrate it by using an ice slurry. So there's a proportion of ice to water that you put in a glass, and you check to make sure that it is reading 32 degrees. And you can easily change the dial to make sure that it's calibrated correctly. I think they also make a cheaper model called the ThermaWorks ThermaPop, which actually looks like a lollipop, now that I'm thinking about it. And it is very, very good as well. But the pro ones are, beautiful if you have, say, a roast in the oven. You don't want to be opening the door every 2 seconds to check on it. Then something like that is great. You can put it right into the very thickest part of the roast. Set a temperature. It's always a good idea to set the temperature at least 10, 15 degrees below where you want the target to be,
mm-hmm.
So that you can be more hands-on near the end. That's great for people that have big pieces of meat or, a cheesecake. You can actually put a probe right in a cheesecake after a certain point and make sure that it gets to the right temperature. And then you don't have to keep opening your door.
I recently bought one that somehow a Bluetooth somehow connects to my phone. This is the greatest thing ever. I don't have to open the lid. I can check the thermometer on my, I can check the, the temperature on my phone without opening the stove door, the oven door.
You can go on vacation.
I can go on vacation. I can go see a movie. I can keep track of what's going on. And I found that when I'm cooking and my hands are icky and, messy and I don't really want to be handling my iPhone that much. I was a little bit disappointed, and I said, give me my old instant read thermometer back. It never failed me.
Isn't that something? I mean, again, it's all about being hands-on in the kitchen. I think I'm late to the game with, e-books and e-copies of books, things on your iPad or your Kindle in terms of cooking books, because I take those little stains of sauce or whatever on the pages is kind of a badge of glory.
Yeah.
Because you've really used it.
Right.
I like to make a mess in the kitchen, and
right.
I've got two boys that can clean up after me.
I like the mess. I'm just not sure that I want them on my iPhone. That's the only problem.
Yes, exactly.
Season 17 officially kicks off?
In January.
Okay, so we'll look forward to that here on WTTW here in Chicago. In the meantime, season 16 is available now on DVD, americastestkitchen.com. If you want to get some more information. Bridget, pleasure talking with you. I hope we can do it again sometime.
That would be wonderful. Thanks so much, Dean.
Thank you very much. Bridget Lancaster from America's Test Kitchen with us.